Father, this morning we just want to pray for Joe and his family and ask you that you would be close to them at this time. Lord, we thank you also for our missionaries. Lord, I pray for Chad's and for Scott's and Daryl's, Diana Yoder, Diana Hirschberger, and Gina. Lord, I pray that you would be with Chad's too, and Sheldon as they're traveling. We pray, Father, for hedge protection for them. And Lord, just be with them at this time and be close to them. And Rosalind, Lord, I pray, Father, for Rosalind too. Just bless them, care for them. And Lord, we pray for today that you would speak to our hearts through Harold, that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us, and that you would help Harold share what you've laid upon his heart. Lord, that it would help us to grow, and that we could see spiritual truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Especially appreciated that last song, all of the songs really, but that last song I had to think about. He talks about peace, and he talks about peace in a lot of bad situations, if you notice that. In a dark world of sin, in a world that we're pressed with many duties, in a world where sorrows are surging around us, and with the thought that these things are coming to an end, and we obviously don't know when that happens or will happen with each of us. The message I want to share this morning goes along with that. Because if you notice in that song, it said, "On Jesus' bosom, naught but peace is found." And the message that I want to share this morning is the fruit of the Spirit is joy, fullness of joy. I want you to understand, I don't intend to be insensitive. I don't intend to be pointing fingers in any way. This message is for me as much as anyone. But it's a message that the Lord laid on my heart some time ago already, and I felt that it was the one that the Lord would have me bring today. I want to have another message on the fruit of the Spirit is joy, but I want us to think about a number of things. If you notice the fruit that's in the picture there, each of those fruit is complete, right? They look like they're very edible. Now, I'd like to have us just think about some things. Where does joy come from? We've talked about some of these things over the past while, but I want us to think about, where does joy come from? Is it something that we can produce? Is it something that's out there that if we search and if we dig and if we scrounge around, we'll be able to find it somewhere? Is it something that I can get from you? Or you can get from me? Where does it come from? When is joy present? Is joy in our lives something that comes and goes like the tide? Certain seasons of life, joy comes. Certain seasons of life, joy leaves. If the fruit of the Spirit is joy, then what does that say to us about when joy is present? Now, don't misunderstand me. We have emotions that we deal with, and that's part of life. And I'm not here to tell you to squash your emotions or pretend they're not there, anything like that. That's not at all what I'm talking about. I think as we go through this and we look at what these scriptures have to tell us, I think you'll understand a little more where I'm going with this and what I want us to learn from it. Is there any situation of life where joy would be totally devoid for the child of God? In the worst of circumstances, when everything piles in us, does joy leave? Is it impossible to find? Or is there something that we can take hold of and that will take hold of us that will bring us into a place of joy in every circumstance? Now, you remember we talked about joy robbers and the different things that come to take joy away. Circumstances, thoughts, people that can come and take joy away from us. Who or what gives joy? I have a number of scriptures that I want us to think about this morning and look at that talk to us about this whole thing of fullness of joy. That word fullness is an interesting word. It's also the word we use fulfill. If I say I've fulfilled my responsibilities, that means they're done, completed, nothing left. It also has the idea of crammed. That's kind of one of the main ideas of fulfilled or fill full is to cram. When you cram for a test, what are you trying to do? You're trying to cram, you're trying to fill your mind so full of that stuff that when you get to the test, it's going to be easy, right? You'll get the right answers. Okay? So when we talk about fullness of joy, we're talking about a heart that is so crammed with joy that there's not room for the joy robbers to come and take things away. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing our emotions and the situations of life we face. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm not pointing fingers in any way at all. But I want us to look at this and see what God has to say to us about it. Because I think there's something here that we need to learn. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I don't know if you've thought about this. It struck me some time ago when I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Those are three things that everybody in this world is looking for. And they will waste, we use that term, they will waste themselves trying to find it. Right? They'll ruin their lives with drugs and with alcohol and with substance and sexual promiscuity and all kinds of things trying to find love, joy, and peace. You and I, as children of God, have those as part of what we receive in salvation in the Holy Spirit, God's presence with us. And beyond that, those three things are the very things that are going to draw men to Christ. When we have love in our hearts and show that love, when we have joy in our hearts and show that joy, when we have peace in our hearts and show that peace, those things are going to draw people around us to the Lord. Okay? So it's important. It has many levels of importance for us. But I want us to get that, and I want us to think about that. Living in the presence of God gives us fullness of joy. Psalm chapter 16 here is a very interesting verse, several verses, 8 through 11. I have set the Lord before me. In other words, what he's saying is, I am focused on the Lord. That's how we say it. I am focused on the Lord. He's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. You won't leave my soul in hell. You won't allow your Holy One to see corruption. And that's kind of a prophecy about Christ, but it's also speaking to us as well. You'll show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In the Lord's presence is fullness of joy. Now, back up and think about the joy robbers we talked about. What do the joy robbers actually do to take our joy away? They either come between us and God, or they get us to turn our attention, our focus, away from God, right? That's what the joy robbers do. That's when our joy leaves. Now, just remember, we're looking, a number of these are Psalms, and we're looking at a man who wrote these who knew what tough was in life. He could write the book about it, right? But he's telling us, if I stay in the presence of God, I'll have fullness of joy. There's a lesson for us there. When we ask in God's will, in the name of Jesus Christ, we will have fullness of joy. This is in the Jesus' high priestly prayer, John 16, verse 24. I want you to think about this verse. This thought struck me. Why does Jesus say, up till now, you have asked nothing in my name? This is at the end. This is when he is getting ready to be crucified. And he's talking to his disciples, and he says, up till now, you haven't asked anything in my name. Be interesting to hear your thoughts. Ask, and you'll receive, that your joy may be full. When we ask in the will of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and that request is granted to us, it gives us fullness of joy. You see what he's saying? He's saying, you've come and you've been in the presence of the Father. You've looked at his face. You've heard from him. You've understood what his will is. And you're asking in his will, in his name. And that request is granted to you. Your joy runs over. It's full. Living in the truth gives us fullness of joy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. John, and by the way, John says a number of times in his writings there, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, we're writing these things to you so that your joy can be full. I'm writing these things to you so your joy can be full. He does a lot of stuff about where we're at, what our lives are like. He says, if you don't love your brother, you don't love God. He says, if you, you know, if you say you have no sin, you're lying, you've deceived yourself. He just says a lot of different stuff that's kind of hard. But he turns around and he says, I'm writing these things to you so your joy can be full. When we know the truth, when we've received the truth, when the truth is living in us, our joy is full. There's so many things here, and I could take each of these and just break them down one by one as separate messages, but we don't have time for that. I want us to just get these, and I want you to take these and meditate on them and allow the Lord to speak to your heart and say, maybe one of the reasons my joy is not what it should be is here. Maybe it's here. Maybe there's something here that God is speaking to me. Joy is a gift from God for each of His children. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Love, joy, peace. How many of you have earned those? None of us. They're gifts from God, right? And if you stop and think about it, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us from God. And those things that He gives to us are gifts from Him. This is interesting. Back in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, the children of Israel had just finished building the wall of Jerusalem. You ought to just read that chapter. It's really interesting. They had the singers that lived over here, and they had this group of people that lived over here around the city, and they had all, some had worked here and some had worked here, and they came together to dedicate this wall to the Lord. And as they came together, it talks about how this group was here on this part, and this group was by a tower, and this group was by a gate, and all these different groups came together to dedicate this wall to the Lord. But look what it says. That day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. It was a gift. Oh yeah, they had worked hard. But you remember, it was a gift that the king let Nehemiah go. It was a gift that God had protected them while they worked from those that didn't want the wall built. It was a gift. And it's interesting, the last phrase, so the joy of Jerusalem, the city, was heard even afar off. There's a lot of things we could say about that. I'll let the Spirit make your own applications there. But God had given them the gift of joy, and that joy reverberated all through the whole part of the world that they were in. And the people around them took notice. They knew that God was in this place. And they knew that God had blessed these people with a gift. The smile of God brings us fullness of joy. I don't know how much you've thought about this. This is Psalm 21, verse 6. Thou hast made him, he's talking about the king, most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. I just read this morning how David wanted to build God a house. And God came and He smiled on David. He said, David, your heart is toward me and I am going to bless you. You are going to have someone on the throne forever. Whoa. You talk about the smile of God on David's life and on his heart. And David was just overwhelmed. He said, God, you've blessed me so much already. What can I do? What can I say to have this smile from you on my life? I can't handle it, God. I just can't handle it. It's so great. It's so awesome. Kind of putting it in my own word, but that was what I got from that. The smile. How many of you have difficulty with thinking about God smiling over your life? You struggle with that? I do sometimes. I think most of us do. But God smiles over His children. And that smile gives us joy. You remember when you were a child and you'd do something and you'd look at your dad, and if he smiled, everything was good, right? If he wasn't smiling, you better find someplace else to be for a while. God smiles over His children. And David talks about that. You've blessed the king. You've made him most blessed forever. You've made him exceeding glad with your countenance. God delights in His children. And we need to learn to accept that and appreciate that and understand that. No, He disciplines us. We're not perfect. We need correction. We need direction. But it's like our own children. Even in the midst of all of that, we smile over them. We love them. We want the best for them. The smile of God gives us fullness of joy. God is our joy. Psalm 43, 4 and 5. Then I will go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Talk about fullness of joy. He's saying, He's my exceeding joy. It's just, I've got all this joy and it's just so much I can't handle it. Upon the harp I'll praise Thee, O God, my God. And he asked himself a question. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And in this psalm he asked himself this several times. Why are you cast down? Hope in God. Why are you disquieted in me? Why are you struggling? Why are you dealing with all this stuff? Hope in God. The circumstances that we face that are trying to take that joy that God has for us and wants to give us, even in the difficult circumstances, those circumstances are trying to take our mind, our heart, from its focus on God. Those very things can draw us to God or draw us from God. So let's let them draw us to God. Unto God, my exceeding joy. That's where I want to go. God is our joy. Being righteous, again, Psalm 68, verse 3. The psalmist, it's interesting to me how a man who lived before Christ, before resurrection power, before the Holy Spirit's coming, before all of the benefits that we have, is able to speak to our lives and tell us how we ought to live, right? Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. I'm not pointing fingers, I'm talking about myself. I have a hard time rejoicing, much less exceedingly rejoicing. I don't know about you, but I am touched, immensely touched, when I read the last verses of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to present you faultless, righteous, before the presence of the Father. Joy. Ah, exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Being righteous. Being in right standing with God because of what Jesus Christ has done should fill my heart with exceeding joy. Fullness of joy. Serving God gives us joy. Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. If you're serving God and you're not getting joy out of it, you're serving for the wrong reason. You're really, now stop and think about this. If I'm serving, you're serving me, all of us, if we're serving God and not getting joy out of it, we better back up and look. We're serving ourselves. That's the bottom line. Because if we serve God, we get gladness. We get joy out of it. Serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Being the redeemed gives us fullness of joy. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. You say, well, he's talking about coming to Mount Zion. That's talking about in the future. Oh, no, wait a minute. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, Paul is writing, and he's talking about the law and about grace, and he's talking about the old covenant and the new covenant, and he says, they came to a mount that burned, Mount Sinai, thunderings and lightnings, and the law was given. But he said, you're come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. He said, you've come there. You're already there. It's there for you. So don't say this is something that he's talking about in the future. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. You've come there, and he read that there in Hebrews chapter 12. Holy Spirit fruit fills our hearts with joy. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's interesting. Maybe sometime I'll talk about this a little more. It's interesting. There's three groups of three in the fruit of the Spirit. The first three are what God does in our heart. The next three are what He does through our lives with, and how that affects people: long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And the last three are how we're affected personally. Just stop and look at that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is a Holy Spirit fruit. It's a gift from God as we receive the gift of salvation and the gift of the Spirit in our lives. It's a gift that He gives along with that. You cannot have the gift of joy from God if you reject His Son and you reject His Spirit. You can't have that gift of joy because they follow that follows having received Christ, having received the Spirit of God. The joy follows. Romans 14:17 says the same thing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about the law. But it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is about. About fullness of joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not about how well I've performed. It's about what I've been given. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And we get fullness of joy when we recognize that and live in that. What God has given to us. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's through the power of the Spirit that we receive that fullness of joy. Colossians 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, patience and long-suffering, they usually get done with grit teeth, right? Gritted teeth. I'll wait. I'll put up with this. He's talking with joyfulness. You see, that's where it starts affecting other people, because long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit too, right? Even in tribulation and trial, 2 Corinthians 7:4, great is my boldness of speech toward you, great is my glorying of you, I am filled with comfort, I am exceedingly joyful in our tribulation. So was Paul blowing smoke? No. We know the story, right? Him and Silas were in jail, in the stocks. They'd been beaten. And what are they doing in the jail? Singing praises to God. Exceeding joy. You know, there's something that I just thought about not too long ago when I was looking at that story. We know why the jailer was still there, but why were the rest of the prisoners still there? You ever think about that? Those of you that worked in jail ministry, Lee, you know this. Those guys in there, if the door is open, they're gone, right? I mean, they're not stopping to see why the door's open or anything else. They're gone. Now. Right? Why'd they stay around? Paul said nobody's missing. Just think about that. Hebrews 10:34. You had compassion on me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Really? Took joyfully the spoiling of your good. You watched the fire burn your house and you took it joyfully. You watched the robbers come and carry things away and you took it joyfully. Really? A few years ago, a neighbor's barn was on fire. I thought the guy was going to have a heart attack. He was going around there. The fire department was there trying to work. He was just going berserk because they weren't getting things done fast enough. He was not taking joyfully the spoiling of his goods. And I'm not pointing fingers at him because I got enough of my own to deal with. But I'm just saying, Paul says, look, even in difficult circumstances, we can have joy. And he knows exactly what he's talking about. James chapter 1. Not only Paul, this is James now. Here's, you know, Paul and James get accused of being at odds with each other, grace and works. Now here's both sides of it, and James says the same thing. 1:2. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or difficult circumstances. Count it all joy. Why? You know what? God hasn't changed. Nothing's changed with your relationship with Him. He's still smiling at you as His child. He still invites you into His presence. He still loves you. That's where our joy comes from, right? So, what's this got to do with it? I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek with that, but I want us to stop and I want us to think. Here's what Peter says, and this is just, I don't know if I can even get a hold of this verse, I really don't. 1 Peter 1:8, he's talking about Jesus, God, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you see Him not, you believe. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Talk about fullness of joy. He's saying the joy is so much, you can't even express it. It's so deep and it's so overflowing and so overwhelming. You don't even know how to express the joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. Talk about fullness of joy. In the presence of God. We learned this song pretty early as children, but we often let it lay as a child's song. But it's for us, every one of us. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, it must surely be Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Let's stand for prayer. God, we thank You this morning. We thank You that You love us. We thank You that we matter to You, that You care about us. Not only do You care about us, but as those who have received the work on Calvary of Your Son, Jesus Christ, You make us righteous. You bring us into Your presence. You give us gifts. You give us Your Holy Spirit. You bless us in so many ways. You long to fill our hearts with joy. You long, dear Father, to help us to understand how much You smile upon us and how much we matter to You. And Lord, I just pray that You help us speak these things to our heart by Your Spirit. Help us to give up ourselves and allow You to work in us that which You desire. And Father, I pray for those among us today who are struggling with the emotions that accompany death and difficult circumstances. And I pray, Father, that You help each one to see how much You care, how Your love is unchanging, even though our situations change, even though our emotions change, even though so many things come our way, You are unchanging. And Your love toward us is unchanging. And we thank You. Help us, Lord, as we go from this place, that Your love, Your joy, and Your peace, through the presence of Your Holy Spirit in our lives, might flow out and produce fruit for the kingdom. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.